Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar, where we get to sit down and talk with interesting professional guitar players and related music industry experts. If you love playing guitar, stick around, you're in the right place. Hey everybody, this is Craig Garber from Everyone Loves Guitar, and I'm here today with Mario Martin from Mario Guitars. Mario's a custom guitar builder out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which is about 30 minutes outside of Nashville, and I got turned on to Mario after loads of artists I interviewed all spoke highly of his guitars. In fact, one of them said, I've played literally thousands of guitars, I've never played a bad Mario guitar. So I reached out to him, and I wanted to speak directly to the source, and here we have him today. And let me just give you a little background on Mario's story. He's been playing since he's 15. He started playing at local honky-tonks and clubs in Macon, Georgia. In 1990, he entered the Country Showdown, which is a national talent competition where he finished first runner-up out of more than 1,000 contestants. At that point, some Nashville executives took note of him, and they traveled to Georgia to check him out. He then got a record deal in 1991, and it came out on DPI Records, which is a label that also included country music stars Hoyt Axton and Mel McDaniel. By the end of 93, DPI Records had gone out of business, and Mario went back to playing clubs, fairs, and festivals as an independent artist. In 95, he moved to Nashville to try to get another record deal and again play the local music clubs, where he found out it doesn't really pay the bills. So he started getting involved in his other passion, which is working on guitars. In 96, Mario went to work at the Gibson Guitar Factory in Nashville. He got some much-needed experience in a very fast-paced production environment. And after 3 years of helping to produce literally hundreds of Gibson guitars, he landed a building position with Fender. There at the newly formed Fender/Guild custom shop, he honed his building and finishing chops. Working alongside esteemed master luthier Evan Ellis, Mario absorbed every bit of knowledge possible on crafting guitars from start to finish. After Fender, in 2004, he found himself working in a management position with the Music Instrument Restoration Corporation based out of Franklin, Tennessee, where he oversaw factory authorized repair work for Yamaha guitars. In 2005, he threw his hands up in the air, had enough of the corporate gig, and said, I'm going to start doing this on my own. So Mario and his wife started out of their garage in their home in Murfreesboro, and they were selling, at that time, two basic body guitar shapes on eBay, the Classic T, which is a Tele style, and the S, which is the Strat style. In spring of 2006, Mario moved into a facility that's now grown to be 4,000 square feet. And they went from offering two guitar shapes to now having more than a dozen body styles, while also offering repair services, handmade necks, setup, restoration, aging and relicking, customization, rerouting, and custom nitrocellulose finishing services. Mario Guitars has been hailed for superior playability, unmatched resonance, and prolonged sustain. And many of Mario's guitars are extremely light, and that's because he uses something called Paulownia wood, which is known for being incredibly lightweight while maintaining sustain, and we'll get a chance to talk about that. Mario Guitars have been reviewed by Premier Guitar, Guitar Player, Guitar World, and they've made appearances on stage with some of the top country music acts. In 2011, country star Hunter Hayes started playing Mario guitars almost exclusively, and he now owns four guitars, one of which made a musical appearance in the 2014 Grammys. And recently, the Brothers Osborne, and those guys are very good guitar players, began endorsing Mario Martin's talents, playing their T-styles with pride. One of the things I want to tell you about Mario guitars is that he does not have any other pre-ordered parts. There's no pre-ordered parts here, then he assembles them. The entire guitar is handmade and cut from wood right there in his shop in Murfreesboro. And I've had players I know go and see him that they needed a slight adjustment or some minor customer service. And Mario's literally put down the lathe or whatever he was working at and went into the back and taking care of them. So he's a guy that's got pride of ownership and committed to doing the right thing. So thank you for your time, Mario, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome, Craig.
Hey, first, congratulations on your business success. But man, I want to congratulate you on being with your wife since you were 16. That's a long time, no?
Yeah, it is. We met early in life because of the fact that of my career choice, and I was playing in the bars down there. And when I was in high school, I was playing five nights a week. from like, you know, 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning. So it was a pretty unorthodox way of growing up. And, she was into country line dancing and such at the time. So we just happened to cross paths there, and the rest is history.
So how long y'all been together now?
Oh my gosh, you put me on the spot. well, we met, in 1990.
So that's,
and we were finally married in 1999.
So y'all been together 27 years. That's great, man. That's
right.
Congratulations, man. I know that's I've been with my wife 25 years, and I know as an entrepreneur, having a supportive wife like that makes all the difference, literally all the difference in the world to your success. So congratulations,
absolutely,
man. Hey, you've got a lot of stuff going on. What are you working on now that you're most excited about?
Well, in addition to, you know, all of the regular offerings that, we usually have, the T style, of course, the S style, the offsets and such, I've really been excited lately about the original, shapes that we've been doing, the proprietary designs. Being the serpentine is one, which is a 24 and 3/4 inch scale, if you will, sort of a Fender meets Gibson sort of combination that we've had a lot of requests for, and it finally culminated into this really nice, sexy offset. Shorter scale guitar that we call the Serpentine. That is really what's been on our forefront as of late. And then we also offer the what we call the Honcho, which is a combination of the S style and the T style, which everybody knows and loves, and the entire industry is built upon. So these two guitars have certainly been used in tandem, and people have, you know, obviously tried to do designs where the two are a mashup before. But I feel like we've got a really good take on this, and of course, all of these models can be seen on the website MarioGuitars.com, and there should be plenty of video out there as well for demonstration purposes for these two, but I feel really good about both of these.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. So both of these are new designs, or relatively new designs?
Relatively new designs, yes. Yes. These were designs that I always say that for me, especially with my background in music, building or coming up and designing guitars, to me, is a lot like songwriting. You write the lyric, you write the music, but then, of course, you, as most writers know, you kind of write and rewrite and rewrite and tweak, and until you feel like you finally polished that gem. And the same goes for this designing guitars as well, engineering and drawing and coming out with a final product. We came out with the Honcho and the Serpentine probably, you know, a couple of years ago, but I really feel now that they're in their that they finally have came through as to what I first envisioned, and it just took a little bit of field testing and, you know, and good feedback from the music community here in Nashville as well.
Do you do all the design work on these guitars, or do you work with designers?
I do the design work.
Wow.
Yes.
That's like a totally different special. That has nothing to do with playing guitars. How did you get that skill set?
Well, it's not a lot of it is in the abstract, I believe. It's that part of your brain, you know, and you're looking at something artistic wise, and some of the designs, like the Honcho, is nothing that I would consider, you know, earth shattering or groundbreaking from an original point of view. I just kind of took some of the classic shapes and geometry and rearranged it, so to speak. Now, on the Serpentine, that is a totally original shape and design. And again, some of that comes from just, you know, sheer artistry at that point of view. And then the rest of it comes from just working and learning, I guess, teaching myself, you know, how to draw in CAD, which is computer aided drafting, which is the basis for manufacturing for all of this. And I use that pretty much on a daily basis. So most of those guitar shapes were born on a computer in a CAD program.
Yeah, the that Serpentine is a beautiful guitar. Really pretty looking guitar.
Thank you. Thank you.
I had a question for you. When you worked at Gibson, was Walter Carter there?
No, I don't. I actually, Craig, I'm not sure who that is. I'm not familiar with him.
He owns Carter Vintage. In
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't. I never met him.
Okay. He was like the Gibson historian for a while. And I thought it was around that period. Maybe it was a little before, a little after. What was the most important thing you learned when you were during your time at Gibson?
It was definitely a way to get my feet wet and to get me started in this path and this particular industry. I learned how to work at a factory level as far as production and, you know, really, really just all about getting things done, moving a product through at, you know, on a large scale. Now I was able to probably take a lot of that with me and learn and base a lot of what we do today upon that, of course, on a much smaller scale. But again, it was something just to kind of start out to get me into that. And I did get to see a lot of the aspects of production over there at that factory. Although the way it was when I was there was the better you were at one particular task, the pretty much you were guaranteed to stay at that one particular task at that workstation.
So the incompetency was rewarded, sort of?
Yes. There you go.
That's a great, so, it's a great management style.
Yeah, but trying to sidestep, you know, getting around that, I just, instead of trying to be incompetent, I tried to get quicker and more efficient at my particular workstation, to where if I finished up earlier, I was able to go into other departments and help them out to get their quotas for the day. So that was a way for me to kind of start to branch out and see more and more of what it really took to build those guitars.
So when you went over to Fender, did that round off your education?
Yes, it did. When I got over there, one of the things that was obvious instantly was that they were not on the same scale as that big Gibson plant that I just came from. They were just a fraction of the size, although they were doing pretty much all of the same type of production, you know, full guitars from start to finish. It was done in a very different setting. So it was much more of a, I guess you could say, hands-on, intimate type setting, to where I was able to literally work on the guitar from start to finish. So it was a dream come true for anyone looking to learn and hone the craft. So that is really where I got to just totally submerge myself into all things luthery or guitar repair we did over there. That was another aspect of it. And so, yes, that was really my schooling, so to speak, for the most part.
Awesome. Talk about, you use this wood I've never heard of, Paulownia. Can you talk about that wood and, you know, how is it different for the end user and what does it offer you as a builder that other woods don't necessarily deliver?
Well, Paulownia is a very special, very unique wood. when I talk about it, or anybody for that matter, when you give a description about it, it almost sounds like you're doing an infomercial for some new wood that just came out or something. Although we all know that's certainly not true and that's absurd. It is new to some extent because of the fact that it's not widely known yet. And it hasn't been marketed or even used in as much as some of the other woods today that we would know right off the top of our heads. But Paulownia goes by many names. The tree is called Paulownia. Some people refer to it as Empress Wood. It also is known as the Phoenix tree and some references, because that name refers to the fact that when the tree is cut down at the stump, it grows right back. And, it does that for many, many years. You can literally, just cut it and harvest it, and it just keeps coming back. It is, also known as a Kiri tree, and that kind of takes us back to the origin of the tree itself. It originated, as far as we know, in Asia, more specifically Japan, to where it's so well known and so well loved over there that the tradition, as far as what I know, is that when a Japanese girl is born, that they plant a Paulownia tree or Kiri tree, and then when she is given in marriage, they cut the tree down and build a piece of furniture to present to her as a wedding gift. Now that may be old fashioned over there by now, but that's as far as I know. I do know that the Prime Minister of Japan also his on his seal is a Paulownia leaf. So it's a well known, well loved tree. It's an amazing tree as far as growth goes as well. It's the fastest growing hardwood / deciduous tree that I know of, or that most people know of in general. I mean, the tree can grow several feet in a year's time. Wow. I know I planted one in my yard when we had the Nashville flood, and I think that was 2010.
Yeah, it was.
I believe that's right. And so we're looking at from 2010 until today, and that tree that I planted then as a little seedling, just a few inches high, is now well over 60 feet high.
Holy!
And the trunk is approximately 3 feet in diameter.
Wow!
So it grows amazingly fast. So that all of those things kind of take us to down the path of, you know, well, why aren't we using this tree more for, especially for guitars?
Yeah.
Because it seems to be in this day and age, everybody wants lightweight wood. They want lightweight, resonant, lightweight. That's what they want for the guitars. And usually Swamp Ash fits that bill nicely. The only thing about the Swamp Ash is that it is all wild growth. And it is very, very indigenous to its specific areas, which are the deep, deep south in the Delta country. You can't just get it from everywhere. And with those two things being taken into consideration, it's wild growth. Obviously, that means once it's cut, that's the end. It doesn't get replanted. And it's a typical growth cycle, or as far as length of time before harvest is concerned, we're looking at decades, okay. Decades for usable timber. So Swamp Ash and Paulownia are very similar in their appearance and their overall sound and tone and resonance in the use of for guitars. the main thing that separates them, that would be the first and foremost and most obvious difference, would be growth time, length of time before it's ready for harvest. Whereas an ash tree may be 60, 70, 100 years for it to be, you know, a fully nice mature tree that is, especially for, you know, wide boards. We're looking at Paulownia in as little as 12 years to be equivalent in size, sometimes even shorter. And then, of course, like I said earlier, for several harvestings, it'll grow right back from the stump before you ever need to replant. It's simply an incredible tree, and it seems to be not only nice for, like I was saying earlier, for landscaping purposes, it's probably the best one I know of, hands down, for shade trees, for residents or whatever, any kind of landscaping, because of the amazing growth rate on it and the big, nice, beautiful leaves and flowers. But with everybody being in the aware and cognizant of conservation these days, I really truly feel like the Paulownia tree is it's just waiting in the wings right now for its turn to get in there and just compete toe to toe with our traditional tone woods. I think it's going to happen.
So you have to import this from Japan, or is there Paulownia planted here now in the States that you're able to get?
It's here now, and it has been for, you know, quite some time. In our region here in Tennessee, once you're aware of it and somebody has maybe described the way the tree looks to you, you'd be surprised. In the springtime, it pretty much is obvious. It reveals itself in the spring, and then you start to see how many Paulownia trees we have that are volunteer trees or wild growth trees here in Tennessee. And I say that it reveals itself in the springtime because it has two very, very distinct traits, the tree itself is in the spring. One is the leaves on the younger trees are enormous for the proportion of the tree. I mean, a lot of people think they look like elephant ears or sunflowers leaves. But in the spring also, it just blooms with these beautiful lavender flowers, like bouquets of flowers almost. And so it's just a really obvious tree to see here. And we have them growing pretty much all over the state. But there are some people who have gotten wise to it in the past few years and have started growing, intentionally growing these trees by probably harvesting those seed pods from the wild ones that I just talked about. Mm. And that is where we get ours. We get ours from farms, and mostly in East Tennessee, over in the Smoky Mountain region. And their farm there intentionally, and probably there's some wild growth mixed in with some of that timber, but it's been an astounding wood for us. And I don't see an end to that. I only see that getting bigger as time goes by.
That's great. I'm going to look them up and wonder if they're in Florida here. When you first started making guitars on your own, as opposed to making them in an assembly line for Gibson or more custom shop and Fender, what were some surprises or things that you sort of weren't expecting, if any?
Making them on our own, some surprises. every day around here I get surprised, so let me think. What were some of the initial surprises to making guitars? I guess you could say, you know, from the evolution of a standpoint of how we started this business, from just guitar mill, from doing raw bodies and different parts of guitars, to fully becoming you know, Mario guitars alongside of it with the fully built assembled guitars. As far as some unexpected things and surprises, I guess would be the branding of the guitars seemed to grow fairly quickly, much quicker than if you were just only doing parts, and which I guess that should probably be not much of a surprise to some people because I've got my name on the headstock. But
well, it's a good surprise. That's a pleasant surprise. Yeah,
it really is. So we have seen faster growth doing the Mario guitars in comparison to the time that we were doing the guitar mill parts. And I think that is probably because it's a fully built instrument ready to go, and it's not just pieces of it there that are just kind of dull and lifeless and need somebody to breathe life into them. So we've been pleasantly surprised, yes, with the way that the Mario guitars have really taken off.
Do you think one of the things that contributed to that is the fact that you were a player, and not just like a casual player, but a very serious player, that's allowed? You know, I find when you're a customer of something, you're in a lot better position to develop that same thing.
First of all, I wouldn't really consider myself a very serious player. I play well enough, I think, to obviously be able to know, be in the know on these guitars. Years ago, I probably thought I was a really great player until I moved to Nashville. and then, you know, that will humble just about anybody. But I do think being playing the instrument and actually using the instrument as it was intended, and being in that part of it as opposed to just standing outside and just dictating, you know, how to put these parts together. Yes, it does make a difference because I may not be the most advanced player in Nashville, of course, but I am versed enough to be able to relate to these other guys that are playing the guitars. So when we talk about tone, we talk about, you know, feel or fret size or neck shape or, you know, what have you. I'm definitely well versed enough to be able to carry on a conversation and understand mutually what we're trying to accomplish. So yeah, it does definitely makes a difference.
What do you think? And this is a put you on the spot question, kind of. So, what do you think is the prime differential that's accounted for this rapid growth and acceptance of Mario guitars?
Well, I think for one, the public and just the overall guitar scene in general has been primed for a better guitar for some time now. Of course, we all stand on the shoulders of giants. None of us are really doing anything too radical, at least not all the time. We're just trying to, build upon the classics, but and not stray so far away to where it's unrecognizable anymore. But we want to try to go back to, you know, what was the real heart and soul of these instruments to begin with. And, you know, it started out with, hand labor, mostly for these styles, you know, made in America, on a smaller scale, and with just the best wood available. And that's what we try to do. One of the things that we can do that some of the big companies and big factories cannot do is they simply just can't spend enough time per guitar to really, really, you know, flesh it out, so to speak. And we're able to do that. We can turn on a dime, whereas they, you know, need to have a committee in front of them to have a meeting to even make a decision. I'm able to go out and literally hand pick every board. And that just can't be done in a large factory setting. Not here in the States, much less across the world. So people, for the most part, our particular client especially, they know this, they understand this, they appreciate this. And though we're not the only ones to be competing in this boutique market, I feel like we've been in it long enough to show some longevity and earn that reputation and that respect to where now people are starting to, in tandem with our artist repertoire, I think that our roster, I think now people are finally starting to stand up and notice, hey, I've heard about these guitars, these Mario guitars, and from what I can see and tell, it is the real deal. So that is that has really, really helped the name and the brand grow exponentially and faster than what I can keep up with at the moment. But and it may be a problem, but it's a good problem. Yeah. And we're still small. I mean, believe it or not, just to let you know, as of today, I mean, there's only like four of us here in the building, and that's on a busy day. So yeah, we're still very, very small. I still work on every single guitar personally. There's no assembly line. There's no farming stuff out or contracting anything out. So it's all done right here.
Is it hard for you to scale up because you're going to have to let go of some of that?
That is a big something to consider. Yes, and it's just something that does worry me. Also, for me personally, being the way that our business is structured and the way I run the business, I'm such a micromanager in some points, I guess you could say. Some things I'm not, but for the most part, I guess if you probably asked people about me, they would probably say, you know, most of the time it's his way or no way. And yes, I'm hard headed on things like that. So, I would have a hard time relinquishing a lot of what I do, because I know we've gotten here by doing it that way. So yeah, I would be afraid to do that. I certainly would, though. I never say never. It would definitely take some time and lots of training for me to feel comfortable to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a common problem with, you know, any business in any industry of that letting go, especially one that the core reason why you've done so well is this particular attention to detail and a specific, you know, system that you have of doing it, which clearly works.
So, yes.
Yeah, I think that's a very common problem. What have there been big changes over the last 12 years in the marketplace itself as to what buyers want?
Big changes. I don't know if I could say big changes, but what buyers want, it definitely changes. It changes what almost seems like on a daily basis almost. With us being so plugged in and so attuned to social media and forums and discussion pages and such, we're even quicker now to like or dislike. We see things become in vogue and fall out constantly, but it all cycles back and forth. I don't know if there's anything monumental that people have stopped wanting or began wanting. They, what we have seen over the past dozen years is that people want, you know, high quality boutique guitars, and for the most part, they want choice tone woods that are very, very lightweight. Whereas, as we've discussed about the Polonia and the really lightweight Select Swamp Ash and such, that's pretty much been a given for us in our little world. And people know that that is where we excel, and we pretty much deliver every time. If you want, yeah, we don't build Mario guitars that would be, you know, non, I don't know what, how to put it any other way, but would be clunky or heavy or non-resonant or whatever. They're all, for the most part, unless somebody special orders one, they're going to be very, very lightweight, very resonant guitars using the most premium woods that I've hand-selected, with very light, thin nitrocellulose finishes that allow the guitar to age gracefully over time, which all of that taken into consideration definitely contributes to superior tone and playability and overall feel of the guitar. So that has not changed, and that's probably been what most people have wanted from us from the beginning, and I don't see that changing in the future.
Well, with the, you know, kind of downfall of you know, the two big guitar companies, I would only think that you're going to have more opportunities moving forward, because, you know, you talk about social media, you constantly see increased dissatisfaction with Fenders and Gibsons, and you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, that's what you're seeing a lot of. And I just read something yesterday. I said, you know, Gibson's bond rating, you know, debt credit rating got knocked down again. So they are now questioning if they can't refinance their debt by like next June 2018, they may not even be around, which would be, you know, pretty tragic, but yeah, you know, it is what it is.
And that goes into what we were talking about earlier about growing and some of the fear that the small guys like I have of sort of letting go of the reins and just really, really expanding. The bigger you get, obviously, as you just talked about, the more overhead you have, the more risk you have. You probably worried more then about numbers than ever, as opposed to being worried about do these pickups and this guitar sound good. So it's a give and take, and I think people notice that.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I think you're probably the fourth or fifth custom builder I've interviewed, and everybody pretty much shares the same exact concerns. You know, you're building guitars because you want a certain quality, and it's tough to walk away at all from even a little bit of that quality.
Yeah.
I want to ask you some personal questions. Now, you're originally from Georgia, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
You grew up in?
I was born in Warner Robins, Georgia. Which many people know that place now. It's in central Georgia. It's got Robins Air Force Base down there. I was born there and lived right down the road in Bonair, Georgia, which back then was, you know, very, very, very small and remote. Today, most of Warner Robins has pretty much overtaken Bonair. My dad still lives there. My mom still lives there. I still have brothers and sisters down there, and lots and lots of family. So I guess, you know, I was probably one of the first ones to actually kind of just totally get up and leave the area and branch out up here. Now this is home. You know, we lived here for all these years now. We moved up here back in the early 90s, and then when my wife and I were married and started having children, then you know, we definitely put down our roots, and now Tennessee's our home.
I hear you. You mentioned your parents. What kind of jobs did your parents have?
Well, my dad grew up on a farm. and he grew up in southern rural Georgia. So they knew not much about anything else outside of the farm. And they did cotton and tobacco mostly. As he got older and decided to leave home, and he actually migrated to Warner Robins, and he started learning how to frame houses. So at that time, that was a big boom in growth back in the late 60s and early 70s in that area of Georgia and Warner Robins. And so he was just jumping in there and just framing up houses and condos and apartments like crazy. And so he learned that quickly and mastered that fairly quickly. And then when I was growing up as a young kid, he had his own crew and was doing that. And unfortunately, I wished I would have paid more attention to it, but you know how it is back then. Yeah. And back then, you know, but subliminally, I learned a lot from just being around him. Hmm. And he not only framed houses, but he did some things on the side in his little workshop at the house to where he would build certain little pieces of furniture or arts and crafts and such. And so I was always around that and the power tools and woodworking and such. And so that definitely gave me a head start in that. Later on in life, he started getting away from that and got into driving a truck and heavy equipment. And now today, he owns a very, very successful company down there in Warner Robins called Garrett Martin Excavating and Hauling. And I'm very proud of him now. He's come a long way. I guess when I finally left and he didn't have to worry about me anymore, he was really able to focus on making money. So now he's got a fleet of trucks and heavy equipment, and he really stays busy in that part of the country down there. My mom was always a house a mom and a full-time mother and wife. But they've been divorced for many, many years now. And a lot has changed in that area since I've been gone. Sure. I don't get to go back that often. Matter of fact, I don't get to go anywhere hardly because I'm stuck right here.
Yeah, in the office shop. Do you have kids yourself?
Yes.
How old are your kids?
I have three children. They're all girls.
Man, you must have done something bad in a prior life.
I tell you, it's tough. I'm in a house full of women. Yep. So my daughters are 17, 16, and 5. And their names are Lainey, Jana, and Maylee. And Maylee is the youngest. She's 5, and she's the one that we finally decided to give her the MM initials in case one of them decided they want to take the business over.
There you go, man. That's a good plan.
Yeah.
The reason I asked is because you mentioned, and I never thought of that, but you mentioned that, you know, perhaps when you get out of the house, your dad. There is, because my kids are older. My kids are 27, 25. Uh-huh. Two sons are out of the house, and my daughter, who's 10 times more work than the two sons together, she's 17, but she's, you know, pretty much on her own thing now. And I never thought about it, but there is an unconscious relief when the kids mm-hmm. are gone that you can focus on yourself more and make considerations that you might not have made in the past. Yeah, and I'd never really...
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, let me tell you, bro, you will love it. We're like, you know, we're like kids now, man, because it's like, you know, we're on the 10-yard line, man, and it's just, you know, I'm lucky, yeah. You know, kind of like you, I really get along with my wife. We have a great time together still, and you know, she's still the person I want to hang out with in my free time, and I don't know, somehow we got through the grind and we're still together and having fun, and it's a very liberating feeling. So hang in there, man. You got a little tough with the 5-year-old, but the older two, you'll be good soon. Hey, so if you weren't doing what you're doing now, what do you think you'd be doing instead?
I would probably still be, you know, just hashing it out somewhere on Music Row, writing some songs or something, playing gigs. I would like to think that maybe I could be, you know, making a living at that, on that end of the music industry. But if not, I'm sure I would still be doing that as much as possible, because that never really left me, and I still think about it all the time. But fortunately, with this line of work, it's still so connected to that end of it, and I still get to see the same people and be in pretty much the same genre and same area here, that it's not like I feel like I've lost anything. It's just that I'm just, you know, in a different department, so to speak.
Yeah, it's not like you became an accountant. Yeah, you're like still hanging out with the same guys, talking about the same fun stuff and the same interests, which is really cool. Yeah. What do you think so far is your biggest business or personal win?
So far, huh?
Well, you're only like 43, so you got a lot of them to go.
I hope so. Yes, yes. Well, that's a tough question. As far as business wise, I guess just knowing that I finally, you know, after it took several years to be able to get to the point of running this business and being self-employed to even pay the bills. I mean, and that's just the way it is across the board for anybody who's ready to venture out and start up their own little thing. A lot of people I hear, you know, some of the professionals or gurus say it takes 5 years, you know, and for us it took longer than that. before we could finally take a little bit of a breather and at least know that, you know, they weren't going to come kick us out of our house or something. So, business-wise and professional-wise, I guess you could say, you know, one of the biggest feats or accomplishments so far has been that we've been able to maintain our presence here. We've been able to just persevere and stay the course, and it's finally getting to a point to where we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. There were a lot of times to where we just didn't know anymore. I mean, I've always enjoyed doing this for all these years, but you know, there comes a point in time to where you figure, you know, we've got to get some money in here somehow, especially when you have children.
So we
finally just got to the point to where orders started coming in more naturally, things started flowing a little bit better, to where we've got a little more of a secure feeling that we've got work. It looks like we're going to have work next week and the week after, so to speak. So that has been a big encouragement, a big blessing, and it really, really gives you confidence that you need to continue to put your heart and your mind and your soul into this business. Yeah. So, and personally, the biggest accomplishment has been just that, you know, my family is still with me. they haven't left me and abandoned me through all of this. They've been, no, seriously, you know, with Shannon, my wife, working with me, she's been there with me from day one, and, you know, with 110% support at all times, no matter the scenario we're in. So as you said earlier, and we touched upon that, that makes all the difference in the world.
It really does.
If I was in this all alone, just me and myself and I, you know, I couldn't do it. So you've got to have support. And I'm not talking about financial support.
Oh, yeah. Emotional support. Yeah.
Emotional. As far as the financial support things, I found out later as I got into this business that a lot of guys that were kind of doing the same thing and moving a lot quicker than me were the guys that did have the financial support or those backers behind them. And I was one that was either some people might have thought I was smarter than that, but I was probably one of the foolish ones and careless and risky ones to go out and do it without any financial support. And still to this day, you know, we just kind of shoulder the financial load on our own. But at the end of it all, I'm glad we did it that way.
Yeah, and you got a lot more freedom and less accountability except to yourself and yes. your wife, you know, which I don't know. You know, you said you're a stubborn, independent guy. You have to be when you're an entrepreneur. You can't yeah. be like, you know, flaky, wishy-washy and indecisive. And that freedom, I know for me, that's why I work for myself. And I don't want to have financial support because that means I owe somebody something and I don't like mm-hmm. that. You know, it's an uncomfortable feeling for me. So, you know, I'm going to ask you three more questions because I want to be respectful okay. of your time. If what's the favorite and least favorite part of what you do?
The favorite part of what I do, the favorite part of what I do would be to actually do what I do, meaning to be hands-on in the craft, to be, you know, working with that piece of wood, to be designing that next guitar, to be mixing that custom color and seeing that guitar come to life. To be there when the end user gets the guitar in their hands and plays it and is appreciative of what you've done and is very pleased. All that is obviously my favorite part. My least favorite part, I guess, would be some of the things that come with running a small business. And this is probably not news to you or anybody else, but you know, the
taxes,
the regular,
accountants, yes, bookkeeping,
the bookkeeping, yeah. things like that. Which I've kind of, you know, I personally let a lot of that go and try my best to let others handle that. Shannon does a good job of keeping me out of a lot of the mundane bookkeeping and invoicing and things like that, to where I can, you know, keep my brain reserved as much as possible for all the creative aspects of it. And then, you know, sometimes the customer service gets a little bit crazy. Where I am right now, although I enjoy immensely, you know, working on these guitars, designing and even building them, there are times when people might want to just pick my brain and just to do it, and that does get a little bit tedious sometimes and a little bit tiresome. But you know, I do the best I can to try to spend as much time as I can with everybody, to where it's reasonable and practical. But for the most part, I enjoy, you know, talking with people and giving them ideas on what they want to do and where they want to go with this next guitar. But sometimes, like I say, that gets abused too a little bit.
yeah. You need some sort of a vetting process, you know, like, or, you know, you're going to X number out of, you know, one out of five or one out of two or two out of three guys are going to buy a guitar. You got to figure out a way to figure out who the third one is up front, because they're the ones that usually take the most time and give you the least amount of money. So I feel you, man.
You're right.
I totally
get that's true.
What's the most important lesson Mario Guitars has taught you about yourself or about anything?
Really, I guess it is just to persevere and just continue to you know, do what you listen to everybody's opinions and try your best to get feedback and consider that. But at the end of the day, you know, pretty much just do what you want and have those convictions, but actually have the courage for those convictions as well, and just feel good about what you're doing, what you're putting out. And although we always worry, you know, and everybody worries about, you know, money to an extent, at the end of the day, you really do have to have something that you're proud of. And if you're wired the way I am, you want to have something that you're proud of, that you've built, you've created, to where you can leave some sort of mark on somebody somewhere after you're gone. Sure. And that has been my primary goal, I guess, so far, is to leave that, especially for my family. And it still is to this very day. So that may be not exactly an answer to that specific question, but that's the best I can come up with.
Man, that's honest. That's all. That's great. Last question. This is always the toughest question. What's your definition of happiness?
Definition of happiness.
It's a weird question, isn't it?
It is because guys like me, especially with with the artistic mind and the way we work, and so many musicians are of the same mindset. We're most of the time we're emotional roller coasters, so we might be happy that today and tomorrow we might not be so much. But when it's all said and done, you just do something that you enjoy. And I know it sounds cliche, and it's hard to answer this question without being corny or cliche, but just, you know, try to find something that you can do that you don't hate, of course, and something the ideal situation would be something that you are passionate about, that you can make a living at. And that right there is pretty much would be my answer. Find something that you enjoy, that you make a living at. And
good enough, man. Fair is fair. That's great. Hey, I can't thank you enough for your time. I really appreciate it. I know how busy you are. Is there anything you'd like to promote or anything you're working on right now that you want to let people know about that's coming up? Take the floor, man. It's all yours.
Well, all I can say about that is, go back and look at our website, MarioGuitars.com. Take a look at all those models that we talked about, especially the Serpentine and the Honcho. We're always updating the website on a regular basis, adding more and more photos and links and such. So we've got an immense amount of guitar photos on there now, the hundreds and hundreds. And so go in there, and if you've got 4 or 5 hours to kill, take a look at our guitar gallery. Go in there and look at some of the guitars and get some ideas. Don't forget to check out our dealer link page. Go in there and support those guys too. Go to the dealers first before you come to us. They may have exactly what you're looking for ready to go and in stock right there right now. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, your website is very well done, and it's very extensive. So you've put a lot of time and effort into putting that together, and I know that's a constant.
Thank you.
You don't just fall off a log and it you have what you have. You could tell you've put a lot of time and effort into that, and you've done a good job at it. So, hey, listen, I appreciate your time, Mario. Everybody, thank you very much for listening. Check out Mario Guitars. It's M-A-R-I-O Jeffguitars.com. Again, this is not like an affiliate promo or anything, but I have spoke to so many artists that actually love Mario's work. So it'd be worth your while if you're looking at a custom guitar. And a guy's got tremendous pride of ownership in what he does. So check him out. Thanks to Mario Martin for spending time with us. I really appreciate it. And everybody, go to everyonelovesguitar.com, and you can sign up to get notified of future episodes, along with some other cool new things we'll be doing for guitar players. Now be nice, go play your guitar, and have some fun. Till next time, I'm out. Peace, everybody. We hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, subscribe to the Everyone Loves Guitar podcast, and you can do this online at everyonelovesguitar.com or on iTunes. And if you like the show, please leave us a 5-star positive review. The more 5-star reviews we get, the higher our show ranks, and higher rankings mean we get to continue speaking with cool, interesting guests on our show. We'll see you on the next episode, and until then, keep playing your guitar and have fun making music.